Advent is a time to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of the Christ child and his return at the end of the age. Let us even now prepare our hearts for worship.
Read responsibly.
During Advent, God's promise illuminates our hope. In times of fear, we place our hope in the one who brings peace. In times of grief, we place our hope in the one who offers comfort. In times of wondering, we place our hope in the one who speaks truth.
Sing with us.
God is good, and all the time.
We
greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And if you're a visitor with us, we especially extend a warm welcome to you and encourage you that if you would like to know more about our church, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. They're right beside the prayer cards on the back of the pew in front of you. If you have any prayer needs, we encourage you also to share those with the church. Our prayer list is long, but we want to continue to offer those prayers, meaningful prayers, for those in need. We have a prayer team that meets every Sunday, and our deacons also gather every Sunday to pray for those lists. Today, we want to remind you of a few things coming up for next Sunday. Next Sunday is our toy in-gathering. This, if you're new to the church, is something we've been doing for a while, collecting toys and other Christmas-type presents for children. Then we share those with the inmates at Orange County Correctional Facility, and it gives them something to be able to give to their children for Christmas. So next Sunday, there'll be a moment in the service for you to bring those forward and place them here at the front of the church. We also have our global mission offering. It will be collected next Sunday. You probably noticed in your bulletin an insert detailing that and the purpose of that that goes to support missionaries all over the globe. And one thing I wanted to make you aware of is a significant change in the way the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship supports its missionaries, or as they call them, field personnel. And there are, at one time, there were some missionaries who were fully funded and others who were partially funded, meaning they had to raise a significant amount of their own support. And there were others who were completely self-funded, having to raise all of their support and ministry resources. Now they have narrowed their purpose and their intentions with field personnel, and all field personnel have their cost of living covered through this CBF Global Missions offering. That is an incredibly important part of our task to support those field personnel all over and throughout the world. One more thing,
This morning, David came out of the office holding a ring, and I told him, I'm already taken. But it wasn't for me, apparently. Someone lost a ring in the women's bathroom this morning, the downstairs bathroom, and David has it. He promises he will give it to you if it is yours. He may make you do something, I don't know, for it. Used to, when I was a teenager, you had to sing for things that you lost. But we won't make you do that. So today, there is a lot going on in the life of the church. You'll hear in a moment more about the hanging of the green service. This is a busy, busy time of year. But we want to take those moments as they come, one moment at a time. And this moment is a moment for worship. Let's continue to keep our hearts focused on that.
It is the season of Advent, and our opening scripture reading reflects that, reading from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. We are here to celebrate the light of Christ this day. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord of love and light, shine through our darkness, bringing us hope. Open our hearts for their journey, our hearts and our eyes for the light, our spirits for the peace which you bring. Fill our mouths with laughter and speech, with shouts of joy, that we shall reveal the love which you surround us this day. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who is coming into the world, bringing your hope, love, peace, and joy. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Here I Am to Worship.
Beauty that made this world adore you. Oh. be seated.
I want to briefly share with you our ministry highlight for the week, which is our Hanging of the Green service, scheduled for next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. It's a wonderful time of worship. We feel like decorating the church sanctuary for the season of Advent and ultimately Christmas is not just a functional thing. It really is an act of worship. And so we have an opportunity for you to participate in that worship that evening as all of the greens are hung and many of the decorations are placed in the sanctuary and our chrismon tree is lighted. It will be a wonderful service. We ask that if you come, if you would bring some refreshments to share with the church family. We'll have a moment of just fellowship in the fellowship hall after that service, and it'll be a time to just be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. So again, that's next Sunday at 6 p.m. Our offertory hymn is Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's number 77 in your hymnals. If you're able, would you please stand?
As we enter this Advent season, we thank you for your light. Our hope is in you. Please take our tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this time in our service, we pause for a moment for you to silently make your confession to the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, your word says that it is time to wake up, that the night is over. But we confess, Lord, that often we live like those creeping in the darkness, hiding our tracks. So often the light shines and we see where we should go and what we should do, who we should be and who we should not be. But like the Apostle Paul, every time we know what is right, we do what is wrong. And every time we try to resist the wrong, we do it anyway. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for your mercy and your grace, that you do not desire for us to live in shame or carry guilt with us in the gut, but that Christ has come to set us free. It's by his love and mercy that we stand in confidence before you. And Lord, we come to you with burdens on our heart. Many of us came here with great worries, anxiety, fears, doubts, questions. There's so much to do and so little time to do it in this season. And some of us celebrated peaceful, wonderful Thanksgivings, but for others around the table, perhaps it was cold, or perhaps there was conflict. Perhaps there were subjects better left unspoken of. Some of us have come here, Lord, and we don't really know why we're here. We just sort of stumble through the door, and we're not sure what we're looking for. Some of us are here out of habit. Many of us come with troubled hearts over those we love. We're thinking even right now of the ones we've lost, the ones who will not be with us this Christmas, the ones who left an empty chair at the table for Thanksgiving. We pray that you would comfort us in our grief and strengthen us, even as you weep with us. We worry about those who are struggling with sickness or cancer or disease or depression. We pray for your healing touch on their lives and for your will to be done. In fact, Lord, we pray that you look upon all the names on our prayer list with your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with hope and with peace, and with love this season. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Lord, if you have anything to say to us this morning, Let us not miss it. Amen. When I was a teenager, I used to love it when our youth minister was going to preach, because we would often sit up in the balcony and try to come up with the best plans possible to distract him or surprise him or catch him off guard, and we just tortured him. Often we would be up there doing, you know, signs for him, or we'd hold up a scorecard after he told a joke that had like 9 or 8 or 10, depending on what we thought it was, or once somebody even threw an airplane out. You never know what's going to happen. I love it when things go strange in church. I love it when there are surprises and things that are unexpected. And one of my favorite stories is a story that was shared on the John Boy and Billy radio show once upon a time, many years ago, about a country church that was having revival. And they had one of these kiver to kiver preachers. Do you know what that is? I've read the Bible from kiver to kiver. And he was preaching, and every night he would get to a very dramatic point in the service, and he would look up to the sky, to the ceiling, and say, "I can see him now. I see the King of Kings." Or he would get to another dramatic moment and said, "Y'all better get ready, because I see the Lord of Lords." And he would do this every night. So on the final night of the revival, some of the teenagers in the church got a mannequin head. And they cut a hole up there in the sheetrock, and they stuck the head of that mannequin down so it was looking upside down right at the pulpit. And when he got to a very dramatic point, he said, "I see. Hey, wait a minute. I do see something." Do we expect to see something or not? That's the question. And in this season of Advent, it's a very confusing season for us, especially as Americans in the South. Especially for us as Baptists, who we have not always done Advent. And at around this time of year, there is so much unexpected, so much we didn't anticipate. Maybe we came in here wondering, where's the tree? Maybe we come in here wondering, what's this thing up here at the front? All of the markets and the stores and the television stations and the commercials, all of that's been telling us that it's already Christmas. It's been Christmas. It was Christmas before Halloween. And yet, here in the church, we stop and say, no, it's something else. It's Advent. And then the next question is always, what's Advent? What is it? What does it mean? It's a time to prepare our hearts and to prepare our minds. The word Advent just means arrival. So we are preparing for the arrival of the Christ child in Bethlehem. We're preparing for that celebration on Christmas Eve. And this candle, these candles beautifully tell that story, as each Sunday we light another candle and the light grows brighter. It reminds us that even from the fall of humanity, even from the beginning, God began to promise light was coming. That something's going to change, that something's got to give, that darkness will not last forever. And so in many ways, these candles represent movement of time. One age passes into the next age, into the time of the prophets, and into the time of promise from an angel, Gabriel, into a time where a young virgin finds herself great with child on the way to Bethlehem, until at last we light that Christ candle. But that's not all that Advent is about. It's not just about preparing for Christmas. In fact, the deeper meaning of Advent is where the real surprise is. It reminds us that we must also prepare for the second arrival, the second coming, the return of Christ. That is what catches us off guard about our scripture today, is that it's not a little baby in a manger in a barn. Instead, it's a full-grown adult Jesus, not talking about angels singing to shepherds, but talking about the final days, the end of this all, what theologians call the eschaton, the completion of all that God has promised, that we're also remembering we're moving closer to that moment. And so, in a sense, Advent reminds us we live between times, don't we? Between Advents. We're living between his first Advent in Bethlehem and his second Advent at the end of time. And it is for that second advent, Jesus is trying to prepare us in the scripture. We find him in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And he's speaking about this eschaton, this final completion of all things. And he says, "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Last year at this time, we talked about all of these television preachers saying that they know when the last day will be, and books have been written why the world will end in 1965, 1966, 1967. Year after year, people make these predictions. But Jesus says, "I don't even know. I don't even know when the end will come. Only the Father. For the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark." That's kind of the untold story, isn't it? Jesus picks up on that missing piece. We always hear about what Noah did and what Noah's family did and about the gathering of the animals, but sometimes we take it for granted that there were folk just living normal lives, eating and drinking and getting married and going on like everything was normal. Could you imagine if you were a character in the movie Armageddon and this enormous meteorite is coming towards the earth? It's the size of Texas, Mr. President. And instead of running and preparing or flocking into places of worship like they did in that movie, you just went to McDonald's, bought yourself a new pair of shoes, took a nap. You wouldn't do that. Jesus wants us to think about it in those terms. You, if you knew you had just days to live, what would you do? What would you spend your time on? How would you manage your life in those last 3 days? Are there people you would ask forgiveness of? Are there people you would say, "I love you" to? Are there things you would try to quickly change about your thinking? Would you pray a little more and read the Bible? Maybe gather with your family and spend time with them. Maybe call that friend you haven't spoken to in years. And Jesus' point is that if we don't know when this moment would come, then we should expect it at any moment. Don't be like the people in Noah's day. He says in verse 39, "And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and the other will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." It's almost spooky, isn't it? I don't think Jesus intends it for it to be spooky, but he does intend for us to think it through. What are we spending our hours on? And for me, it's not what will I want to be doing when Jesus comes back. It's actually deeper than that. I think that the real question is, what do we want at the end of our days, at the end of our life, whenever that comes? What do we want to say we spent our time on? What did we invest these precious, sacred moments doing that we are gifted to by God? I love looking up statistics. I took statistics in college, and my statistics professor, who talked like this, he said, "Statistics will change your life." And he wasn't far wrong. There are some amazing statistics out there, although I know that 90% of all statistics are made up, including that one. But they're interesting. What do we spend our life doing, the average American? Well, you spend 25 years of your life just sleeping. I can get on board with that. Just sleeping. You work for 10.3 years of your life, just working. The average American works 40 hours a week. Wouldn't that be nice? It says that you ladies spend 17 years of your life dieting, trying to just lose a little weight. You watch TV for 9.1 years. Some people, I'm sure, spend many more years than that, but the average American, 9.1 years. That accounts for 2.8 hours of each day of your life. You spend two of those years just watching commercials, by the way. That's just evil. You spend 1.1 years of cleaning, some people less, some people more. You spend 2.5 years cooking. You spend 3.66 years eating. That's about 67 minutes a day. And over the course of your lifetime, you'll eat 35 tons. Some more, some less. You spend 3 months of your life stuck in traffic. This one I love. Ladies, you spend nearly 1 year deciding what to wear. And a correlating statistic says that men spend about 1 year looking at women. Some more. It says that the average employee spends 2 years sitting in work meetings. And listen to this one. You spend 3.9 years, almost 4 years of our lives are spent doing this, looking at a phone. Looking at our phone, or talking on it, or texting on it, or playing games on it. And then it says that we spend 5 years, some as much as 10 years, on social media. Just looking at Facebook, just sending texts, just tweeting out tweets. Did you ever think you would live in a society where tweeting is a real word that we take seriously and use quite seriously? Jesus is trying to help us realize that, you know, some of that is unavoidable, but at the end of the day, what are we really spending our life on? How are we living life? What are we doing? 10 years on social media, year after year, just staring at a device, looking at the glow of a computer screen or our tablet. And I think that Advent is a time to remind us that maybe there's better things to spend our life on. You know, when I asked you just a moment ago, if you knew you had just days to live, what would you do? My advice would be, do it anyway. Live each day like you've just got one day to live. Life would be so dramatically different. I think about, in my own life, the hours I spend doing nothing. Or doing things that I get up from doing and I think, why did I just watch that? Why did I just see that? You ever hear the expression, I'll never get that hour back? Think about how often we say that. Why did we allow ourselves to lose that time in the first place? I think about how much time I've spent watching a pot boil. I call it Southern entertainment. Just these things that there are expressions for that are there for me, watching paint dry. I've done it. I confess. Once upon a time, I read that there was a special concoction you can make that would attract slugs if you put it in a bowl, and they would climb in and they couldn't climb out. And so I put this bowl of this concoction near a group of slugs and just watched. What a waste of time. But if we're honest and if we're confessional, we know we waste time doing a lot worse things than that. How much time have we wasted on hate? How much time have we wasted our lives on holding a grudge or being spiteful or jealous? How much time have we wasted in our lives wishing that we had that house or that car, or if I could only just do this, or if I could get this one thing more, I'd be happy? How much of our lives do we waste in silence, refusing to speak to those people who've angered us? How much of our time have we wasted not loving or not telling our children how much we love them, or telling our parents how much they mean to us? How much time have we wasted just on pure selfish pleasure? Those minutes and those hours add up to days, and days add up to years, and then at the end of our life, we see that maybe there have been whole chunks of life that we just didn't live. I want us to return to that message from Paul in Romans when he says, "You know what time it is, how now is the moment for you to wake from your sleep." I think in many ways we live our lives as sleepwalkers, and God just wants to say, "Wake up. Wake up. Salvation is nearer now than it ever has been before. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And then he says at that last verse, "Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." We live between Advents, and it's not a very long lifetime. Make every moment count. Would you pray with me? Lord, we simply ask this morning that you would help us to wake up. We don't live in fear of your return. In fact, we can't wait for you to come back. And we can't wait for all things to be made new. And we can't wait for the new heaven and the new earth. And we can't wait for that moment where you say they will hunger no more, nor shall they thirst any longer. We cannot wait for the end of war and the end of hate and the end of grudges. We can't wait for those new bodies and that new life where you make your dwelling with us. We can't wait for these things, Lord. We don't fear them. We long for them. We long, O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. But Lord, we just ask that until that moment, help us to live rightly. Help us to live life to the full. Help us to take every moment and make the very most of it. Help us to make this life count for everything. In the name of your Son, Jesus, this is our prayer and this is our hope. Amen. As we come to the end of our service, we invite you to respond to God's word, whether that be to find a new church home or to finally wake up and to become a disciple, in fact, of Jesus the Christ. Or perhaps it's just a moment for you to sing an affirmation of your faith. We invite you to respond to God's word as we sing "There's Something About That Name." It's number 177 in your hymnals. If you're able, would you please stand?
Master, Savior.
go today, make the most of this week, and we look forward to seeing you in worship again next Sunday. Would you receive this blessing? May the God of all time be in your hearts and in your minds in this week to come. May he poke you and prod you into making the most of each moment. And may he fill your life with grace. And may he fill your life with life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.